Hey Jeff, what's going on?
Hey there, what's new? Sorry I keep missing you.
It's all right. It's how life happens sometimes.
Yeah, so what's new and exciting?
Well, nothing too wild here. I'm about ready to go back to work like normal.
Yeah.
I've basically just been doing my work from home and this quarantine's getting to me. I gotta get something done,
Yeah,
outside of it.
right. I hear you.
So, I wanted to talk to you about the Arizona Mafia.
Yeah.
Basically, so Marco is launching a campaign for governor. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah.
And Doug Ducey's helping him.
Yes. Coordinated.
And then Marco is a protege of the former president of Mexico, Carlos Salinas de
You got
Gortari.
it.
Forgive me.
Yeah, and my analogy I used for Salinas is that he's Mexico's Saddam Hussein. That's my that's I think if you talk to anyone who studies Mexico, meaning a professor or a Mexican person, pretty much any of them that are old enough to know and remember, meaning like age 40 and above, anywhere in the world, you mention the name Carlos Salinas, and you'll immediately see in the facial expression what is most Mexicans feeling about him. They don't like him at all. They hate him. He is Carlos Salinas is famous for being behind, quote unquote, all the bad stuff that happens in Mexico, ever since he showed up on the political scene, which is 35 years ago. And the rumor is, a lot of people believe it, and there's a lot of evidence to suggest it's true, that every Mexican president since Salinas has been controlled by Salinas up until López Obrador, who was elected, I think, about a year ago. López Obrador, who's Mexico's new president, has been, it's a very long story in Mexico, but the two men obviously know each other very well. They've been around in Mexican politics for a long time. López Obrador has been slowly arresting one by one bigger and bigger fish out of Salinas's inner circle as he works his way towards Salinas himself.
Wow.
Yeah. He's the first Mexican president to do that, to have the audacity to do that. And before López Obrador went into office, he would be interviewed about that, and you could see his voice shaking, and he would be visibly nervous about it. People say, aren't you worried pursuing 30 years of Carlos Salinas corruption? Because other people who even write articles about Salinas get murdered.
Wow.
And López Obrador would shake and shudder, and he would say, yes, I'm nervous, but this is in God's hands. And when López Obrador was running for president, he shunned the security service because he felt as though the Salinas people controlled the federal police, which is correct. They do. They control pretty much all the corruption in Mexico. And López Obrador was commonly seen traveling around Mexico City in his own personal Volkswagen Jetta. And what would happen, this is when he was a presidential candidate, and he would have like a human shield of 200 or 300 citizens would surround his car and walk him through Mexico City to protect him. Yeah, it was really, really extraordinary. I mean, most Americans wouldn't really understand that history. You know, I think they would be moved by it if they understood it, but we just don't know it in the U.S. But yeah, López Obrador arrested Juan Collado, Collado, which was an Argentinian lawyer who is Carlos Salinas' lawyer, who's protected him for many years. He got his brother, Raul Salinas, out of jail. He managed to bribe his release. And Juan Collado is actually sitting in a Mexican prison right now. That's Salinas' lawyer, which is really amazing. I mean, that's just amazing. That's like, it's like if Hillary Clinton's lawyer was sitting in jail. And so there's some big history being written here, but one of the things the Salinas apparatus is doing, and I see it as clear as day because I was involved. I mean, I wasn't involved in the bad stuff, but I was involved in the group of friends. I saw it progress over the years. And I was at Carlos Salinas' house. I was in his conference room with his son, Emiliano, and my friend Marco, right? I mean, it's not like I'm guessing when I say that they're working together. I know it for a fact.
So you know where his house
is? And
I'm not saying that I'm asking you where it is, but I'm just saying that you know him that well, so you know maybe where his old house used to be, I guess, at the time.
Well, yeah. Carlos Salinas has had the same residence in Mexico City for years.
Okay.
But, I mean, I was there at the house with Marco in a conference room. Like, you know, the reason I tell you that is like, when I'm telling you that I know this stuff, it's not like I'm guessing. I mean, I'm an actual firsthand witness.
Wow.
One of the things Salinas is doing as he is under fire is his world is closing in on him, I guess, but doesn't slow these guys down, is taking over all the politicians in Arizona through my old group of friends. They're going to elect a governor. Marco López will be the governor of Arizona. It's not apparent yet, but you can write it down. It's 100% probable unless something dramatic happens to stop that run.
So the Salinas family has definitely been grooming him for years.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I remember one time we talked, you said Marco was friends with Dennis Burke, and mm-hmm. Dennis Burke is an attorney, a former district attorney for Arizona, right?
United States attorney, federal. So you see this Fast and Furious scandal that's coming up in the news again.
Yeah, the president said that he'd like some answers and he'd like for us to do something about it.
Right. I believe I'm the only witness to Dennis Burke, of course. I don't think there's... I mean, if there is another witness, they're not going to say it. It's recorded in my lawsuit that I filed 2 years ago in federal court that Dennis Burke in 2013, I think it was, if I have my dates right, told me that he was, quote unquote, as guilty as sin in the Fast and Furious scandal. When I met Dennis at an AJ supermarket in Phoenix, he was all disheveled and he hadn't shaved and he was very upset. All the publicity was on television. And he came to that meeting and I said, Dennis, what's wrong? He said, I'm going to jail. And said, why? What's that? Because I didn't even understand the schedule, but the whole Fast, I didn't know what Fast and Furious was about. And he says, no, we're involved in a big scandal and we're as guilty as sin. He says that to me, to my face. We're sitting at a little table in front of the grocery store. I didn't even know what was going on, but now I know what it was, and I clearly remember that. I've never forget those words he said to me.
Do you think that
Dennis? Go ahead.
What do you think his involvement was, if you had to guess or if you don't know?
He was running it. Burke was running it. He's the only public official to resign.
Wow.
He was the United States Attorney for Arizona. He was running the ATF and the FBI and all that stuff. And he was subpoenaed to testify to Congress about it, right, when Eric Holder was held in contempt, you'll remember.
Yep.
Dennis Burke was subpoenaed, and instead of testifying to Congress, he quit his job.
All right. So do you think... I know he's probably involved with orchestrating it, maybe. Okay, Marco, was it the Customs and Border Patrol? Was he the chief of staff at that time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So Carlos Salinas hired himself the top border officials from the Obama government. He hired Marco through Carlos Slim, and Marco pays Dennis Burke. And they've been designing this SkyBridge Arizona port. This is the first international port at an airport in the United States with both U.S. and Mexican customs. So Carlos Salinas has the former chief of staff of U.S. Customs and Border Protection getting him all the permissions for that and setting it up. It's owned by a fellow named Ariel Picker, who is another Carlos Salinas frontman. He's a 40-year-old guy. No one can figure out why he's got hundreds of millions of dollars, but it's once you figure out who's behind him, it's not hard to figure out. So Marco and Ariel Picker, who's this like mystery man from Mexico with all this money, are building SkyBridge Arizona, which has U.S. and Mexican customs in the same facility in Mesa, Arizona, at Mesa Airport. And then Marco's going to be elected governor, so he can probably protect that project.
Yes.
And keep law enforcement away from it or whatever.
Yes, he would have, he would have a lot of say in that coming in there. And then also, like you said, maybe even the regulations and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, and on the other side, they've got Marco's old boss, Alan Burson, who's Bill Clinton's college roommate, who was a Customs and Border Protection commissioner. They've got Alan running around Mexico building logistics ports, sky parks, all over Mexico. So, you know, I don't know. It's not really my business. I'm just a computer guy. But if you ask me, Carlos Salinas is building a trafficking hub. He's got these young guys. They're building sky parks and they're building a logistics hub in Mesa, Arizona. You know, anything with Carlos Salinas' name attached to it is always drugs and trafficking. I don't know why else he'd be building all these ports.
There's some lofty goals by him, and, you know.
Yeah, it's just like they say, what's the best place to hide a lie is right out in plain view, right?
Yeah, make it look legit, just like the mafia would.
Yeah, so when López Obrador got into the presidency in Mexico, the very first thing he did, one of his very first moves, was to cancel the Salinas-sponsored new Mexico City airport. And I noticed that right away. It was like one of the first things López Obrador did, and he said the whole project is corrupt. Right? And so if you want to do drug trafficking, what better to control than airports? And that's Marco Lopez's whole business these days, is designing the Mesa SkyBridge Arizona trafficking hub. And now he's going to be governor. He's going to be elected governor. And the only guy who's out there talking about this stuff, who understands it, who can put together the two worlds, because I spent all those years in Mexico when I was running my Kielbasa internet business, and I was around the same guys. I was around Carlos Slim. I was around, thankfully, not Salinas, but I definitely knew who he was. I think I'm the only guy out there telling this story. I mean, if it wasn't for me, nobody would know anything about it.
I agree with you. You're the only person I've ever heard anything about it. I've looked up all kinds, you know, trying to dig on the circumstances with Fast and the Furious, and it seemed like it was a dead end everywhere.
It all fits together. There's another guy who was just arrested. His name is Garcia Luna. He was the Mexico Federal Police. He was the chief of federal police in Mexico. He's just indicted by the United States authorities for taking bribes from the Sinaloa cartel. He's one of Janet Napolitano and Marco Lopez's strongest contacts in Mexico. And the reason is Garcia Luna, the federal chief of police, he was a Salinas guy. So it all connects back through Salinas.
Now, I heard that gang, there's a person who has a YouTube channel, and I don't know, they're a reporter. And they used to be in the cartel, but they're out now. And he was talking about how that gang in particular you just mentioned, they protect the president, or at least they used to. I don't know the way he was talking about it. I'm just trying to understand everything here. Maybe
Sinaloa cartel. Yeah, the main thing to understand is that it all connects through Carlos Salinas. And the people don't know it on the American side. They hear that name, they're like, who's Carlos Salinas? Like, no one even knows who it is. But all of Mexico knows who it is.
This is pretty serious then, because if this is hype, watching, you know, this is my mind playing it out right now. I've got Arizona, they do go through, and Lopez gets elected, and they do go through with the airport. Then the president of Mexico, he must comply and allow that to occur, and if he doesn't, he's probably going to get an attempt on him, is what I'm guessing, because at that point they'd be so far invested, and not to mention they want to do the illegal activities that, I don't know, I just see that happening. I don't know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
It does, but I mean, Lopez Obrador is already trying to arrest all of Salinas' buddies, and he's working his way towards Salinas, and those guys know it. So they're trying, if they're going to try to bump him off, I mean, they're already there. They don't need any more incentive. What I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about intelligence. I'm just a guy of average knowledge in the world, you know? But, I mean, I know enough to put together these pieces. Like, if you really know it, because I don't know how many other reasonably educated American culture-raised CEOs of technology companies were, like, running around in the elite circles of Mexico City for almost 15 years. I was. Like, I think I'm kind of an anomaly.
Yeah.
But I just see it as clear as day.
All right. This is really good information. All right. In regards to everything we just talked about, how many more people are there? Any more people that Carlos Salinas, that Salinas would have that you think would be arrested that have not been yet?
Well, yeah, you mean Mexico's new president going after the Salinas people?
That's right. What do you have any names in particular?
He's taken him down one by one.
Okay, is there a certain name where you would expect to see one here in the news sometime soon?
Yeah, I mean, it's all being reported by the Mexican press. So it's not like a big secret or anything. Like, he calls it, the president of Mexico, López Obrador, who's known by four initials, AMLO, which is Andrés Manuel López Obrador, but everyone calls him AMLO. He calls it the 4T, which he calls the fourth transformation of Mexico. As he said, Mexico's been through three periods of transformation. He says his whole campaign thing that Americans don't know, but Mexicans do know, is he's going to transform Mexico for the fourth time and turn it into a global economy. And in order to transform Mexico, he has to get rid of the corruption. And as all of Mexico understands, the way you get rid of the corruption is you get rid of Carlos Salinas, because he is corruption. That's why I say he's Mexico's Saddam Hussein. And there's no bigger corruption figure in the past 35-year history of Mexico. Everything ties back up through Carlos Salinas. So they call him in Spanish Jefe de los Jefes, which means the boss of the bosses. Like, there's a bunch of songs in Mexico that have been written with that title. And if you watch Narcos, like that series on television called Narcos, like at the very end of the chain of drug dealers and drug bosses, when they finally get to the top, there's an actor who played Carlos Salinas at the very top of all the drug hierarchy. Like, everybody agreed with that. You know, not even one person said, like, oh, Carlos Salinas doesn't run everything. No, like, everybody agreed with that, even the guys that made Narcos. And this is the guy who owns Janet Napolitano's group. I mean, this is Carlos Salinas owns Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Marco Lopez, Dennis Burke, Janet Napolitano, and the rest of their group. It's about 20 people in that group that are all former Obama operators. And they have been moving the pieces on the chessboard for Mexico for at least the past 7 years, probably the past 10 years, the more you think about it. You look at Fast and Furious, that was 2009. So, you know, they're using their government positions to traffic weapons down to the Sinaloa cartel, while Marco was running Customs and Border Protection and Dennis was the United States attorney, right? So they did that. And then Garcia Luna, the federal police chief, just got arrested, but in the United States, he just got indicted He's tied to Jan Napolitano, and he's tied to the Sinaloa cartel, which backs into Carlos Salinas again, right? It was very easy to see how connected they all are. And now Marco's going to be governor of Arizona, which is, it's just sickening. I mean, that essentially means Carlos Salinas will control the office of the governor of Arizona.
It's all, man, this is really good information. So, are there any other illegal activities that you know for sure that Marco and Dennis were involved in?
Well, the thing is, those guys aren't, although in my opinion, they're doing terrible things, they don't have the disposition of hardened criminals. What they have is the ability to look the other way and rationalize what they're doing, if that makes sense to you. And Marco knows exactly what he's doing. He used to tell me when we were friends, and we'd have countless conversations about the whole problem with Mexico with Carlos Salinas, right? And Marco's mother would always say, biggest criminal in Mexico is Carlos Salinas, right? Marco's mom's a nice Mexican lady. And now she poses for pictures with Marco and Salinas' niece, Claudia Salinas. His mom is right there. Like, they've all just totally sold out. And so it's not like they wake up in the morning and say, oh, we're going to go conduct some illegal activities. You know, they're not like hardened criminals. Like, I'm going to wake up and go rob a car, or I'm going to, you know, it's not like they wake up and say, I'm going to go rob a bank. You know, it's not how they, what they think is that, you know, they're advancing United States and Mexico business, and they know they're working for dirty guys, but it's not really their problem. And as long as they get paid, which is the main thing that matters to them, and cover their tracks with legal documents, they don't care. Like, they don't care. Like, I could sit down with Marco, because he and I had this kind of relationship for years, and I wish I could, and tell him off, say, Marco, you know exactly what you're doing. I'm probably one of the few people in the world that could get to him that way. But, you know, no one else is going to talk to him like that. Nobody else even understands, for the most part, what's going on. And those who do are willing participants, because they all like that easy money that flows up from Mexico.
Well, that's really important. It was really important that you mentioned that you guys had the discussion before. That's good to know that. That's especially important information. If there's something that does come of it, you know, then that information, they're probably going to want that from you. All right, what else was there? We had the money transfers. There are money transfers you mentioned from to Intermestic Partners in Phoenix. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's Marco's business. That's where you got to look. And it'll be documented. You know, he'll have big transfers going in there every month. And he's got lawyers. And he'll have consulting contracts. And all the money will come from Mexico. Essentially, all of his money comes from Mexico. Some of it comes from other places in the world, because Marco had consulting contracts he gets through his friendship with Carlos Slim. Like, Marco's he was consulting to the CEO of Qatar Airways, who he met through Carlos Slim. And so he would have other international money coming in as well. But essentially, all the money Marco gets is from Mexico, and he'll have consulting contracts, and he's probably, but I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure Marco's probably registered himself as a foreign agent and done all those things you're supposed to do, right?
Yep.
You know, he needs to be, I don't know how the intelligence community works, but if you're ever going to do it on a national security level, this is just one American citizen speaking from the heart to another. Marco needs to be closed in a dark room with a spotlight and ask the question, are you working with Mexican cartels, until he breaks, because you better believe he is. He absolutely is.
Sounds like it. And
he knows it.
He said Qatar, maybe he's friends with some people from Qatar. And
Yeah, he was consulting to the CEO of Qatar Airways. Marco told me he was being paid $50,000 a month.
Now, there's got to be something going on there. I don't know if you know this, but Qatar is pretty famous for, human trafficking and such like that. As a matter of fact, whenever politicians, we had George Bush and also a couple other the Clinton camp, when they went out there too. I know someone that used to live out there, and I know that the princes would oftentimes give, and especially if Qatar, a plane with underage minors for Bill Clinton whenever he came there. They called it,
Wow.
they called it, what was it? They called it, Airfuck 2 or something like that, as a joke about him, because that's what he would do on it.
Yeah, and see, being around these guys for years, and there's been articles written about them that say Janet Napolitano's group was like a frat house, right? And it was. You saw, Secret Service agents got arrested for prostitution while she was the DHS director. That was on her watch. Mark Sullivan, Dennis Burke's business partner. And Susie Barr, who I know, who was running ICE. Well, Susie Barr, our friend, she's a daughter of Burton Barr, who used to be a famous Arizona politician. So Susie, who's a young-ish girl, a very good friend of Janet Napolitano, Susie Barr was the chief of staff of ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and she got sued for sexual harassment by male employees who said that Susie was sexually harassing them. But I think it's probably the only time in the history of Washington, D.C., that a female agency director has been sued by men. Totally true.
That's wild.
I've got all kinds of pictures with Susie. I know her very well. She was part of Janet's inner circle. So these are the things, if you need to establish my credibility, these are the kinds of things you can use, right?
Yep.
It was a frat house. I mean, it's a frat, that's how those guys are. It's no secret. It's been written about. And, if that was it, I wouldn't, I don't even drink alcohol. I'm just a computer nerd. Who cares, right? It's not really my style, but it wouldn't bother me if they were just a frat house. But what bothers me is that they let their freewheeling mentality, that sort of same mentality apply to all of a sudden working for Carlos Salinas, which is, it's a whole nother thing. I mean, it would be no different in my mind if they were actually working for Saddam Hussein and he was still alive. I mean, people in Mexico say the difference between Carlos Salinas and Saddam Hussein is that Hussein would probably be afraid of Salinas. Yeah, he's a bad dude.
So you mentioned a few connections there with certain people, with Janet Napolitano and her party, and another business partner of everyone that knows him. Is there anybody in particular that you think that is a real problem? There was one guy that threatened you. Who was that? I saw that he had threatened you on.
Victor Flores, yeah, he's one of their friends. He's one of their loyalists in Phoenix. He's a Napolitano loyalist.
Just want to make sure that I mentioned that, because the guy, he did kind of threaten you in a way, I thought. I remember you saying that. And then also maybe Marco did in a way too, a little bit, but.
Yeah, Marco said if I ever talked about it, they would kill me and my entire family. So I think that's a threat.
All right, so to mitigate the situation, so what, if you had to approach it, what would you say would be the easiest way to to catch them in what they're doing, or to stop
you
them.
You just got to go straight to Marco. You know, if I had a choice, because I know, right? He's like, Marco's like a brother to me, right? I mean, I say this emphatically. Like, we both have girlfriends. Like, I'm married, right? So, not that I care, but like, we're straight men. We weren't like lovers or something. But we were like as good of friends as you can be with another guy. You know, many late nights talking about world issues, and we were running partners for years. And like, I know him. I know Marco on a fundamental spiritual level. He knows what he's doing is wrong. He 100% knows what he's doing is wrong. He needs to be placed into a context, probably some kind of a national security type scenario. I don't know how you do that legally. Somebody needs to come down on him very hard. Marco's not a strong guy. He'll break very easy. He would admit what he's doing very easy. He's not a hardened criminal, although the stuff he's doing right now is with some of the most hardened criminals in the world. That Carlos Salinas is right there at the top with some of the worst guys in the world, and that's who Marco's working for. But if you just sue him, or if you just, you know, if someone starts an investigation or whatever, they're just going to get unlimited paper, because he's got money and he's got lawyers and he's got a way to rationalize everything. Marco's drinking heavily now. He never drank when we were friends. Like, I don't drink. It's not my thing. But like, you know, I noticed he started drinking around 2016, which is not like Marco. So he's dealing with the stress. You know, he knows he's getting deeper and deeper into it. And I feel for him. Like, his parents are good people. Like, his dad is like a plumber. He's like an honorable man. You know, we used to go out hunting with him. I wouldn't hunt. I was too much of a Democrat to kill animals for sport. But like, we'd be like, you know, he'd be like, okay, son, you know, make sure you've got your safety on. You know, they'd be shooting cans or something. He's just totally a dad. I mean, he's just a nice guy. Marco's from a normal family. But he's being used. You know, that's what the cartels do. Even in Mexico, they find kids and they train them how to be gunmen. They're like 15 years old. You know, they train them. They take advantage of the young kids because they don't know any better. That's what these guys have done with my former best friend. They use their money to get his trust and attention. He's like, Marco's like a kid in a candy store. You know, he never had $1 million. I had $1 million, but mine was clean. I made mine from my internet company. Marco never had $1 million. When I found him, he was selling telemarketing for Sprint over the phone for $7 an hour.
Wow.
So he's very wealthy now. Someone, you know, you asked me how would I approach it. I'd throw him in a room with a, you know, just like the old cop movies, put him under an interrogation light, tell him you got proof, tell him you know what he's doing, tell him you know he's with Salinas. I bet you he'd break. Marco's not a tough guy. I bet you he'd break pretty quick and admit it. Probably break down in tears.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to make sure I forward everything that you told me today over. It's definitely going to be important. And I got the phone numbers of everybody, you know, of the of Marco and Dennis as well. I'm going to hand that off, and I know that there's...
Yeah, that stuff I told you about how to deal with Marco, I would say the same thing if I was, like, his dad or something. I mean, that's absolutely the right way to approach it. And the information you're working with, I mean, you can investigate it. If you've got contacts, whatever, it'll help you figure it out long enough to where you see my information is 100% correct. And... like, when you go in there, like, if someone goes in there from that perspective, I believe that the likelihood you could, because I don't think he wants to be doing this. He does. It's like, what do you say? Like, people get themselves in a bad situation where they keep doubling down and digging themselves in deeper. And then they finally get arrested. They say the best thing that ever happened to them was getting arrested. I think that's where he's at.
Yeah, he's in too deep right now. They'll kill him. He's a liability at this point if he stopped.
That's right. So, you know, the next thing he has to do is run as governor of Arizona, and he's going to win, right? They'll make sure he wins. Like, he's, Arizona is, you know, I am no elitist at all. Like, I grew up around a bunch of rich kids in Southern California. My parents were middle class. I've never been an elitist at all. But I can say emphatically, Phoenix is not a high-tier environment. It's a very low-end city in terms of the sophistication of the voting constituents, right? Mm-hmm. This is just not, we used to say that business casual in Arizona means that you have all your teeth, right? So it's just not, so with all due respect, I mean, so the same reason I was able to get up around the governor's office and everything just by being an entrepreneur that had a few million dollars, it's not like I was Jeff Bezos, right? Like, I probably had, I don't know, $5 or $7 million or something in the bank, legitimately earned, right? But I was writing these guys $20,000 or $50,000 checks for their political events, and that was good enough to be on a first name basis with the governor and everybody there. So when Marco runs for governor, he's gonna have, you know, Carlos Slim, who's the top 10 richest in the world, who's a Salinas frontman. And then Slim is gonna bring all his buddies. So Marco's going to have Bill Gates backing him, and he's going to have Jeff Bezos, right? Yeah. I mean, nobody in Arizona can compete with that, politically speaking. Nobody. So he'll be the governor, and he'll still be answering to the same guys because they put him there. So that's what you're dealing with. That's exactly what you're dealing with when you deal with Carlos Salinas. You're dealing at that level.
This is a pretty critical time to probably take action or at least start an investigation or something, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. And I, from the bottom of my heart, it is the right thing to do for Arizona and probably for the United States. I mean, absolutely. It is the right thing to do. If you want to be on the right side of justice, and look, if I'm wrong about any of this, my wrongness is not in the core thesis. The core thesis is 100%. It's absolutely what's happening. If I missed a few details here and there, so be it. But the situation itself, in terms of Marco running for governor, Marco working for Carlos Salinas, the Skybridge Arizona port, the logistics aero parks they're building in Mexico in coordination with the Skybridge Arizona port, all that stuff is 100% correct. It's a major project. Whatever they're doing is a major project. There's 100% chance Marco's going to run for governor, and there's 100% chance he's backed by Carlos Salinas. 100%.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me about all this stuff. This is really important because they've got to do something pretty quick here if they want to help the Mexican president, help our national security, and then also stop a corrupt politician from becoming governor and or probably skimming money off the top of these projects somehow, I'm sure, too, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think they're going to start running whatever trafficking they're doing. I don't know. You know, your law enforcement guys will know a lot better than I do, but whatever plans they're doing, it's going to start running through Arizona. I mean, it probably is already, but it'll be a whole nother level.
All right, Jeff, well, I'm going to forward this on, this information here, and then if you'd like to, if you are available, maybe they might have follow-up questions for me, specific ones, and if they ask those of me, can I call you up or ask you directly about it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. All right. I'm going to let you go. Have a good evening. And
okay.
Thank you for your
Take
time.
Take care.
All right, see
you. See you. Bye-bye. Bye.